You know, Winston Churchill falls on hard times after the Dardanelles and Gallipoli campaigns, because in some respects he becomes a scapegoat. And he's really pushed into the background. And he doesn't really play a role thereafter until 1918, when he is going to be brought back. He actually spends some time on the Western Front. He's actually given a command on the Western Front during this period. But again, as far as high policy, you know, it's not until 1918 and 1919 that Churchill makes something of a comeback, that Lloyd George brings him back.
The day after Great Britain declares war on the Ottoman Empire, its first military act is to land troops near Abadan at the southern tip of Iran on November 6, 1914. Its mission is quite clear: protect the nearby oil fields and make sure their production is not disrupted. Oil has become the new fuel for the Western world. The Royal Navy has switched from coal to oil a few years before the war begins. Great Britain and France have invested a lot of money and manpower to develop the oil fields in southern Iran. Consequently, the military minds in London believe that an advance into Iraq, right next door to Iran, will be the best way to make sure that oil continues to flow out of the Middle East and into Allied warships, trucks, and aircraft.
One of the complicated stories has to do with oil in the Middle East. In 1911, the British Navy had shifted from coal to oil. And Winston Churchill, who was head of the Navy then, did have a real understanding that oil was going to be of great importance. Other leaders were slow to figure that one out. So that oil, during much of the war, was not the factor that it was to become later.
The operational conditions in southern Iraq, the Fertile Crescent region between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, seems less than promising. The area is known for its seasonal flooding, malaria, and swamp fever. High temperatures are unbearable, sometimes reaching above 150 degrees. In March 1915, the British begin their advance up the Tigris River, led by General Charles Townshend. By the end of May, his troops clear out the hostile Turk and Arab forces that threaten the oil fields in Iran. Although Townshend's superior, General John Nixon, knows all about troop shortages and supply problems, he keeps pushing Townshend for victories. He even talks about capturing Baghdad before the year is out. At the city of Kut el-Amara, on September 28, 1915, General Townshend's forces attack the Turkish defenses early in the morning and break the enemy lines by noon. The battles rage all day, and the Turks are in full retreat by nightfall. But General Nixon isn't satisfied. He is obsessed with Baghdad and urges Townshend farther upriver into the heart of a sweltering darkness. By mid-November, British forces, about 11,000 men, stand at the ruins of an ancient city known as Ctesiphon, with its famous arch rising above the featureless landscape. They are only 25 miles from Baghdad. Standing in their way are 20,000 soldiers of the Ottoman Sixth Army, led by Nurettin Pasha. The Battle of Ctesiphon rages over 4 days in bitter cold, much of it fought in a sandstorm. When the sky clears, Townshend has failed to break the Turkish line. Both sides lose about a third of their troops. Baghdad will not be taken. Townshend withdraws 100 miles downriver, back to Kut el-Amara. But the Turkish army is on the move again.
That's the conventional wisdom, that they fought hard and well when they were in trenches, backs against the wall. And in fact, they were capable of remarkable offensive movements on foot. The Sarikamish campaign in particular, they marched 75 kilometers in 3 days, whole army corps going through snowy passes in the mountains in the Caucasus. and the encirclement of Townsend's army in Kut. They are relentless in their pursuit of Townsend as he goes downstream from Ctesiphon to Kut.
Arriving at Kut on December 3rd, 1915, the British have plenty of ammunition and 2 months of rations. So when Townsend hears that the Turks are advancing against him, he shows no real concern. 4 days later, the Turks arrive and begin to surround the city.